are listening to Right Back At Ya, the 2000s pop music podcast where we have fun taking pop music seriously, hosted by two young divas who this time know it's for real. One who can't wait to pop a bottle at a karaoke night very soon, David Lim, and me, future national touring star of The Bodyguard, Joel Babington.
Hello, Rachel Marin.
Hello, David. How are you? Do you want to be my bodyguard in the tour of The Bodyguard?
I'd be honoured, genuinely.
Or you could play the sister, or both. We could really put the show on its toes.
Or could I be the Zoe Burkitt to your Alexandra Burke?
Oh, yes, my all...
When you're absolutely having a night off, yeah, I can fill in. Put on your wig.
Joel will not be appearing at matinees or Sunday performances. You can see David Lim then. Fabulous.
Works for me, yeah.
How are you, David?
I'm great, thanks. Look, this summer has been a wild one weather-wise. We've had a heat wave. We are currently experiencing torrential rain. It's all sorts of craziness happening, but you're looking nice and tanned.
Oh, thank you, David.
You've been home and away.
I have been home and I have been away. Yes, managed to safely take a trip to Mallorca, which was wonderful. Forgot, you know, what it was all like, getting a plane, going to a hotel.
Having a full English breakfast that doesn't really resemble any kind of full English breakfast you have here, I guess.
Well, it was a breakfast buffet, so just sort of totted around, got what I like, it's lovely. They had like carver at breakfast, it was brilliant.
Oh, this is my kind of trip. You know, it's always like, it's always people that go, too soon, too early. It's never too early.
Never. No, I was on holiday.
If you're holding the bottle, it's already on time. Yeah.
Yeah. I did not put the question out there. I said, I'm going to get that. Does anyone else want some? Not, oh, is it too early? No, I'm on fucking holiday. Yeah. Like, I'm having some. Anyone else? And they were like, Joel, you're drunk. I'm like, so. No, kept it very classy.
I love it. I just have this vision of you in like a silk kimono, just like swanning around the breakfast buffet with like a glass of cava, going through the complimentary fruit platter, just being fabulous.
Well, I actually, you know, it's limited. We only had carry-on, so limited allowance. So I didn't take my kimono. Alex took his though. That's, you know, you've got to be selective. Kimono is what makes the final cut.
I mean, what would Lisa Scottley do? I'm sure when she's on one of these holidays, she would have a kimono
ready to go, or at least just buy one there.
Yeah.
But anyway, how are you, David? You went to see the UK Dolls, the United Kingdom Dolls?
Yes, I did see the United Kingdom Dolls at Clapham Grand last night. So thank you to the team at Clapham Grand. I feel very spoiled, like literally like the GC up in the Royal Box, which you and I have been in before for your birthday when we went to see Liberty X. And I know were you in a box for Cheeky Girls as well?
I was not in a box for the Cheeky Girls, no.
Okay, yeah. Well, it was more like a real lived experience in amongst the people.
Yes. I was in a box when I went to see Cruel Intentions, the film at the Clapham Grand.
That oh, okay. All right. For a film. I love that.
They gave me a framed picture of Ryan Philippe, which I kept for a long time, which was out. I don't know if you remember. Ever remember seeing it at our flat, but that was a prized possession.
I don't think you put that in a communal space. So
no,
must have
no,
been like
no, just
privé part of your room. I never saw no Ryan Felipe in my residence.
It's not for sharing.
Love it. So honestly, it's so good to see gigs and nightclubs back again. I am now double jabbed. So in a couple of weeks, I'll be ready to mingle.
As am I.
We'll see how it goes. Yeah, well, we need a night out. Yeah.
Exactly. And we've got some plan coming up. We're going to see Tom Aspel soon on tour, aren't we? Which I can't wait for.
Yes, the Revenge Body Tour. Mm-hmm.
But remember, guys, even if you are double jabbed, let's keep it safe. Regular testing and all that. David, speaking of things being reopened, I went to see Six the Musical last night. And let me tell you, it was phenomenal.
I think this has been going for a few years, right?
It has. It's had an amazing story. It started life at the Arts Theatre and it's just got bigger and bigger and bigger. Huge following now. It's doing a tour at the same time as it's playing in the West End.
Wow.
It's going to Broadway. It's like this show is just like... And let me tell you, David, the hype is real. Those girls can sing. It's the most fun you'll have at the theatre. It's like everything you want it should be.
So basically, if you like high energy, big diva vocals, female ensemble, this is the show.
If you like pop girls and you want to go and see a show where Henry VIII's six wives are all main pop girls,
yes.
This is the show.
Yes.
And everyone loves it. It's got a huge following. Everyone's buzzing there. It was kind of a thing where I hadn't seen it before and I felt like I was the only person in the theatre that hadn't already seen it 10 times.
Wow. Okay. I'm going to find a musical theatre loving friend and make it a...
Get yourself down there.
Yeah. Make it a carver and kimono experience. Who knows?
Is the buffet on?
Sir, I don't think you're dressed appropriately for the theatre.
I'm always dressed appropriately for the theatre. Well, anyway, speaking of divas, David, who are we doing today?
Listen, this is so unexpected, but so pleasantly welcomed. We are celebrating the Young Divas, a multi-platinum selling, albeit short-lived, Australian and New Zealand supergroup made up of former Australian Idol finalists. Joel, I don't even want to say that I've been pestering you about this. I think I kind of floated it and then it got floated higher up the list. And then we were texting maybe last week and you were like, let's do Young Divas next. Because by the time this episode comes out, it might be fine back home in Australia. But I think everyone's feeling a little bit glum back home in Oz right now because of lockdown. So we thought for our friends back home in Australia, those listening, maybe this could be a celebratory episode where we could just perk things up a bit.
Absolutely. It's just time that the Young Divas were made a priority act here at Right Back Atcha. It's 20 years of Idol, David, this year, of the Idol franchise. I was, you know, spitballing to you that I would love to maybe see more of that this year from Right Back Atcha. Mm-hmm. Nothing's confirmed yet, but watch this space, guys. And we just need to celebrate the Young Divas, especially now, especially for our friends down under. Non-Aussie listeners, don't switch off. You are in for such a treat today. We are going to have an experience and you're all going to leave loving the Young Divas. So, Davo, before we get into it, can you read us a lovely 5-star review, please?
Didn't prepare this.
We didn't decide this before. Sorry.
Literally, it's always like this. Why are we always like this? Hang on. Hold up. Let me.
We're searching. For a 5-star review.
So this review has the title, My Perfect Running Companion.
Something I need to do.
I would never. You're doing the running for us, that's for sure. So this one is by Songs for When. I love, 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 love this podcast. The boys have such great rapport. I listen to this podcast running as it's the perfect motivation to keep going. I have to say, as much as I enjoy the Steps, Saturdays, and S Club episodes, to name a few, I really enjoy the episodes that feature artists I'm not really aware of. And because of this pod, I'm now obsessed with Bardo, much to my husband's annoyance. I've also enjoyed getting to know Mandy. I would live for a Hillary episode if you're taking suggestions. Thanks, guys. Honestly, can't get enough. Joel, I see why you wanted me to read out this review because it's on the list.
It's all hunky-dory when I say let's make Young Divas priority, but just ignored and tumbleweed, guys, when I say let's make Hillary and Jessica Sims a priority. No, thank you so much, Songs for When, and thank you for your love and support. Guys, check out Songs for When. It is another pop-loving music podcast out there. If you like what we're doing, please do leave us a lovely 5-star review. We appreciate it so much. It really helps the podcast. And if you're not already, please do follow us at Right Back Pod on all social platforms. Right, David Lim, let's get into it.
I'm so excited as an Australian to share with you, Jolie, the Young Divas. I've always loved these ladies, and obviously all of them as individual solo artists I've followed for a very, very long time. But as you say, it's 20 years of the kind of Idol franchise, and these are all former Australian Idol finalists that have come together to form a supergroup, right? And they're not just any kind of contestants from Australian Idol. These are vocalists, okay?
Absolutely.
Divas.
Divas.
Thus the name Young Divas. So four-piece supergroup put together by Sony BMG. Initially, the idea was for them to do just a one-off single, Jolie. You know, it was mostly, the single was a vehicle to promote a joint national tour for all four
of
them.
Which I think is genius.
It's genius. We need to see more of this kind of initiative, don't we?
Mm-hmm.
So the single wasn't the big idea. It was just more something to get the press excited for this tour.
Imagine it as like an advert for the tour, if you will. You know, something to really plug and get it out there.
I think it's a really brilliant idea. And do you know who else thought it was a really brilliant idea? All of fucking Australia, because they jumped on board of this one-off single. And before you know it, Young Divas wasn't just a touring act made up of four individuals. They were a proper, legitimate girl group with two albums and multi-platinum selling status. So today we're going to get into them.
As you're saying, Australia loved it. It went from what was going to be a two-week tour to a three-month tour.
Insane. I think it was like originally 14 dates and it became 40. So this was the kind of early noughties, right? Where reality TV and Australian Idol and the Idol franchise was really very king. You know, once you appeared on one of these telly shows and you're like an instant celebrity, like anything was possible. And also they were trying to figure out what longevity looks like for these artists that have, say, broken out a few years earlier. How do you keep the momentum going when there's already several new seasons of Idol coming and you're no longer the current act? It's a very interesting time in the music industry and for entertainment. So I'm loving what they were doing with Young Divas.
It's kind of like billed as like a fun night out with the Young Divas. And, you know, it's a great way to like cross promote and capitalize what they had. Because if someone is a fan of one or two, you're then, you know, if you split that between four and the fan base of them all, there's just such outreach there.
I'm surprised that we haven't had some sort of equivalent of it here in the UK, but I guess
we did have something not similar, unfortunately, as much as I would have liked. But after the Pop Idol Series 1 tour, I remember Will, Gareth and Zoe then did another tour, the three
nice.
Of them.
But they weren't like, they didn't do like a covers album together.
No, unfortunately not. They didn't become the Young Divas.
No, they didn't have a platinum selling single. Oh, what a shame.
What a shame. what a tour to have. I would love to have gone. Unfortunately, it wasn't filmed. It's not out there now, is it?
No, I can't even find like a bloody poster or like, did they even do a tour program? Maybe it wasn't like, it was so just everyone just kind of let's go. Yeah, but it's interesting. If you, as a fellow Aussie, have been to one of these Young Divas tours, please let us know in the comments what it was like.
Our friend of the pod, Big Nostalgic Energy, if you've got a program in your amazing collection, post those pics. Or, you know, we've got loads of, you know, other nostalgic accounts out there, Aussie-based ones, but no collection. If any of you have got Young Divas tour merch memorabilia program in your collection, please do share with us. So David, could you please tell me who the Young Divas are?
There's Paulini, who came fourth on season one back in 2003. Now, Paulini was a really beloved contestant in her season. She unfortunately was the center of some very nasty comments about her weight by one of the judges, Dicko.
Is that his name, really?
Dicko, yeah. Well, dickhead, yeah, in short. I'm sure he's a nice guy off camera, but, you know, when you're the villain on the panel, yeah, that was what he was giving. So Paulini wore a now very infamous gold dress with some very interesting ruching on the front. Dicko said to her after her performance, "This is the real world. You should shed some pounds or choose more appropriate clothing."
Disgusting. disgusting. So, David, you sent me the clip of this. A, she's singing Survivor by Destiny's Child. Sounds phenomenal. I can completely see why she is a fan favorite. I mean, all these girls we're going to talk about today really have phenomenal voices. Oh, David, watching that clip made my blood boil. You do not do that to a young girl. You don't do that to anyone first and foremost, but you do especially not do that to a young girl who is now suddenly having to deal with instant fame that no one is prepared for on a national television show. But also, wardrobe department have given her that. Also, she looked fantastic.
It was one of those heightened reality TV moments, and it was probably one of the first big reality TV uproar.
Yeah.
This is up there with it. Paulini's gold dress. It's very pop culture moment. Harsh. Very, very harsh.
Very, very harsh. Disgusting.
So by the time we get to Young Diva's era, at this stage in Paulini's career, she had come forth on Australian Idol. She had already had two albums out and a Christmas EP with Sony BMG. So yes, she did get signed to a major, even though she didn't win. Her first album, One Determined Heart, an album of covers, was released in 2004. That was a number one hit. Her debut single, Angel Eyes, was also a number one hit. I had both these records, the album and single.
Oh. So tonight I'll ask the stars above.
She'd released her second album, Superwoman, a few months before Young Diva started, and sadly, that really underperformed. That peaked at number 72 in Australia. So that's the lay of the land with Paulini before we get into Young Diva's chapter. Shall we check out another member?
Please.
Now, this is a hun I have banged on a lot on socials over the years, and to you, Jolie. We're talking about Ricky Lee Coulter.
Ricky Lee!
I adore Ricky Lee, and I've had the pleasure of interviewing her a few times on Joy 94.9. So,
she
is what
you get
is like what you see is what you get with Ricky Lee.
In person or on the phone?
Both, actually. Yeah.
Wow. And what you see is what you get. Was she a pleasure to interview?
Pleasure. Or? Absolutely lovely and so much fun.
I wonder if she'd want to. After this, who knows?
Should we tempt fate? Hi, Ricky Lee. It's been a few years. So Ricky Lee came seventh on season two of Australian Idol. I know, you're gasping.
Seventh?
I know, you're gasping.
My jaw's on the floor.
Actually, most of Australia is still like probably still shook that she came seventh because she was kind of maybe one of the favourites to be winner, top three.
Yeah, I wanted to ask you, did you watch Idol when it was on in Australia?
Definitely season one, season two, and maybe a little bit of season three.
Right. So you know the perception of most of these girls. So yeah, you're saying she was a fan favorite.
100%, yeah. Do you know what? As we know in this country and in Australia as well, you can't trust the public with shit, okay?
No.
You just can't.
You cannot.
This is what happens.
Oh, Jesus. I was feeling so good. Now my anxiety is through the roof.
I know. But you know what? She did an interview a couple of years ago where she said that she felt like she's been given the career she's had, this long career she's had today, because Australia still felt guilty for
good.
Not letting her go through further on Idol. So, yeah. But this is the kind of sense of humor she has. You know, she's very... She's a hun and she's just a very talented, not only vocalist, but songwriter as well.
Seventh on season two, she's having the last laugh because she's one of the most successful overall of the Idol franchise of Australia, right?
Yeah, well, definitely.
I would say probably like her, someone who none of us have ever heard of, Jessica Malboy, we might touch on. And then obviously like the guy that won series one.
Guy Sebastian, yeah.
They're probably like the three most successful from Idol ever, right?
In Australia. If you're saying this as someone who didn't grow up in Australia and that's your recognition, then there you go. So even though she came seventh, Ricky Lee was offered a deal with Sony BMG, but she turned it down and went with an independent label instead called Shock Records. And her reasoning for that was that, you know, out of all the offers that was on the table, Shock wanted to hear what kind of album I wanted to make, what kind of artist I wanted to be. So she went independent. So that shows very strong artistic vision from the get-go. She wasn't just some teenager you could just shove around. Okay.
She didn't want to do a rushed out covers album.
No, and that she did not. Her debut self-titled album came out just a year before Young Divas was formed. It charted at number 30 in Australia, but it had 3 top 20 singles, and it was a fantastic album. I remember at the time it came out, I was listening to it. I'm like, you could play this and you could tell me that it was an American artist and I would believe you. You make me feel so high. Your love is like sun.
Good on ya, Ricky Lee.
And now next, we've got Kate DeRouge and Emily Williams. So both were winner and runner-up, respectively, on season 3 of Australian Idol. They literally got the crown or went to the finals 6 months before Young Divas were formed. So these girls are fresh from the show. And it was a really close race between Emily and Kate DeRouge. We're talking a 2% difference in votes.
Wow.
Because Kate was the winner. She did release her winner single, Maybe Tonight, which debuted at number 1 in Australia. It was a platinum hit. Her debut album made number 10. And her second single, Faded, which was actually written by the Veronicas. I feel like this is a JB song.
This is a bit of a JB, let me tell you, Davey.
Did you like it?
Oh, did I like it? I loved it. Oh. Let me slip between. Oh, David, this song was fabulous. And as they're saying in the comments on YouTube, like, oh, they're really angling her for Kelly Clarkson and stuff. Didn't realise how on the nose it was at the time. But it is like...
Aussie Kelly Clarkson.
Fan-bloody-tastic. Fan-bloody-tastic. The song, David, was later covered by Everlife, and their version was featured on the greatest reality TV show of all time, The Hills. Not everybody has that.
Oh, wow. They couldn't use the Kate DeRouge version? Right. Also, Cascada covered this.
And JB after this episode.
I love it. It's like this episode and then it's like a bonus track.
This has to go on JB too, actually. Absolutely.
Whichever of your solo albums is the rockier one. Yeah. Is this single, is this lead single or second, or where would you release this in your campaign?
Single of the re-release.
Nice. Give the fans something new. Yeah. Mm. Faded. Yes, get into it, JB. I'm picturing it. Wind machine, leather trousers,
fabulous.
Eyeliner.
Sexy, rocky.
Also, yes, we have Emily Williams, who actually hadn't had a chance to release a record yet before Young Divas. She was signed to Sony BMG, though, and they did say after signing her that her solo album was coming the year after, but sadly, nothing, not a single, no album on this deal. Like,
yeah, so I'm curious as to, I'd love to have known what all their sets were. I couldn't find it at all for this tour. Mm. Because maybe she sung songs from the upcoming album.
Or did she do covers?
Yeah, or just like her favourites, like or her the Idol hits journey. From the Idol
yeah,
show. Yeah,
exactly. Because you know what they like back in the day? They love to release these albums that's like your Idol journey. It's like all the songs you've covered.
But she's got a like...
cracking voice.
Emily's got a big voice. She was singing Whitney and stuff on Idol and sounds phenomenal. But above all this...
you. definitely not one to underestimate.
You can see why it was so close.
Yeah, I have a lot of time for Emily Williams' vocals. And of course, we know there's the Aussie pop icon, Jessica Mowboy, which we'll get to
her. Never heard of her.
Stop. Which we'll get to her when we talk about the lineup change. But Jolie B, shall we get into This Time I Know It's For Real in May 2006?
I wanna let you know. So, really interesting. This is a single for the tour. In all the press at the time, they're saying we're not a band. We're four young divas that have come together. Really adamant that you know, they're solo stars, which they are and were and are again.
And you look at the single cover, it's like young divas featuring all their names, right?
Yeah, I love that. It's like, these are the stars of the show, all their names. But this is it's literally everything we're going to see today is like 80s bangers with poppers, handbags on the dance floor. That is the mixture. And it is present here from the beginning and the get-go.
The handbags are already on the dance floor.
It's on the dance floor already. And we know it's real. So I love it. We've got the music video here, David. And we've got literally, it's at home. We're hanging out with the girls. We've got pre-drinks. We're getting ready with their song playing. And then we're at the club.
The old black ensemble.
We've got the very light choreo and it's just the girls getting together. Their song comes on and they do a little bit of their routine that they've practiced before. And now, David, this mood, this version of this song, this slight routine, shall we say, I'm going to recreate this at your wedding.
Can you do it with, like,
I'm going to get up there on that stage.
Do it with, like, a black pinstripe suit, like something that Emily Williams would wear, but also, like, with the big chandelier earrings that Ricky Lee's rocking.
Absolutely.
Give me all that. It's like this is maximalist glamour in a very high street way, and I lived for this.
Do you think that the Young Divas exude the Australian version of the early days of Girls Aloud? They were kind of the poster girls for jeans and a nice top.
Yes.
Do you think Young Divas are like the kind of Australian version of that?
Sometimes it can be glamorous. Sometimes it can be, you know, jeans and a nice top, depending on the occasion. The good thing about Young Divas is that they weren't pretentious in a way that we're trying to look like a cohesive girl group. We are four vocalists and the main thing is we show up and sing and you're going to love it.
Yeah. It's like kind of like, it really is sort of the continuous, what ends up being the continuous version of like VH1's Divas Live. Right. I want to know from your mind, you're a young Australian boy. What was your first thoughts and perception of this song?
I read somewhere that this was a thing that the girls were getting together and they were doing a single, but I didn't actually hear it until I think one day I turned on Video Hits and I was like, oh, okay, this looks a little bit budget, but, you know, I was like sticking along with it because I loved all the girls individually. And then it got to the high note where Emily was like belting, it's for real. I was like sold. This is the banger for me. At that point, I was like, I don't care how cheap the video looks. This is a hit.
I think the thing is, they're amazing vocalists that does none of that matters. So now press-wise, obviously, Kate was the fresh winner. Were they billing her as like front and center, or were they all just billing it like really equal?
It was just more about the collective power of these four. And I just think the big stars for me, the big drawing cards, the headliners were Ricky Lee and Paulini.
Two national treasures. So, David, this version of This Time I Know It's For Real peaked at number 2 on the ARIA charts. And it remained in the top 10 for 14 consecutive weeks. It was certified platinum by the Australian Recording Industry Association, aka ARIA, for shipments of over 70,000. Now, not everybody has that, David.
No, not for a record that you didn't plan on popping off. That was just meant to be a tool to promote your tour. And then, of course, everyone thought, well, we got to follow it up. So next comes in November 2006, the second single from Young Divas, Happening All Over Again.
Emily, have you joined us?
I'll take you back before, 'cause you told me you changed. Looked in my eyes and said, believe me when you broke my heart and deceived me when you said you never could leave me. But it's happening all over again.
So Happening All Over Again is also covered by our very own Tracy Shaw.
Tracy.
Who you would all know our Tracy from our Soap to Pop UK episode. Now, Tracy is a young diva.
I mean, look, she's a diva in some ways, yes.
Rear of the Year award winner.
Okay, not everybody has that. So, yeah, get it, Tracy. Again, I've never heard this song before until Young Divas did it. And I was like, my perception of this at the time was like, oh, they're trying to capitalize off This Time I Know It's For Real. That they're literally doing a carbon copy of that. But then also, like, I was living for it. I couldn't be mad. I wasn't mad. I tried to be mad, but then I was like, happening all over again.
But again, the music's brilliant, like brilliantly produced. The girls sound amazing. So the music video stuff doesn't matter. It's nice to have a visual to go with the song, you know? I think the music video is very iPod commercial meets an intro to singing and DJing course. So we've got obviously like these like coloured like screens with like the silhouette of male dancers, which looks very iPod commercial.
Of that time, yes, definitely.
And then we've got shots of just the girls with a microphone, single shots, and then single shots of the girls with headphones in. So that's what makes me think.
Kind of like what you're wearing right now.
Yeah, professional David, actually.
All right, Kate DeRouge, I see you.
No.
You have to do it. That's a move for it.
The girls deserved a little bit more in the video department, in my opinion. But they look and sound wonderful. And this is a banger. And you just feel happy instantly listening to this and all these covers, I think.
Yeah. And also, like, I think it's a very clever song choice to have your second single, Happening All Over Again. It's kind of very tongue-in-cheek, like, yeah, we know we did it the first time and here we are again. So don't mind us. It's happening all over again. No.
So did you ever at the point as an Australian hun, did you ever get the thought or the feeling that by this point, this is not what Ricky Lee signed up for?
At this point, probably not. The perception was that Ricky Lee had hit singles, right? So it kind of felt like this is a building momentum for her. Like, even though she had solo success, it was nice to solidify her brand and take her to a bigger audience with the other girls. So it kind of felt very mutually beneficial.
Obviously, the original idea of the project sounds amazing, especially for someone like Ricky Lee. But then as this is all going on and on and on, they're doing more and more and more. It feels like when you're in a meeting and you've got somewhere to be and you're like, I've really got to go. Like, how much longer is this going to take?
Ricky Lee's the one in the Zoom meeting in the chat. Yeah. Sorry, guys, I've got to bounce.
Yeah.
And then her screen just fades out of the block. Ricky Lee has left the chat. This single, a cover of Lonnie Gordon's hit, reached a peak of number 9 on the Australian singles chart. And then after this, we get the album, the debut self-titled Young Divas album.
David, now, let me tell you, I think both of their albums are two amazing workout albums. The workout I want to do, and this is the workout that I need to be doing. So I really loved this album. I will say, opening with What a Feeling is a choice, and I think that this could be the last track on the album. Not my favorite, love everything else, just wouldn't personally have this as the opening track.
Do you feel it's a bit like kind of by the numbers?
Like, that song is right, incredibly iconic. It's an incredible song, but it's also so tired for what it is. Like,
yeah, and also we must say, remember reading Sarah Harding's book that Girls Aloud were meant to record What a Feeling instead of I Think We're Alone Now?
So, David, let me tell you, I went to the Chemistry Tour, and I, ever since seeing that in 2006, I remember that 80s medley they did so well and vividly in my head. And I think it was our musical theatre queen, Kimberly, because they all had an 80s song each.
Oh,
they,
really?
It was a medley,
was it like
but
that?
They all took turns, yeah. So I think it was Kimberly going to the front like, first, when there's nothing, not a soul, not a dream. And she had this fabulous curly hair for the Chemistry Tour, very 80s, very sexy. And then, yeah, they were all going to record it together for the greatest hits. And
no,
they didn't need to do it. And the Young Divas didn't need to do it personally.
We're going to get into some of the album highlights now. And I think there are some gay rights moments. So what do you love on this album? Tell me your highlights.
Right. Favourites. Past the Poppers. Right. Gloria. You really don't remember. Was it something that he said? All the voices in your head. Calling Gloria.
First of all, the Laura Branigan version, very nice, lovely, beautiful gowns, nice gowns. But Young Divas for vocalists? I mean, come on. This is fucking it.
You could just imagine in some weird world, there's some bonkers TV show where you've got like the original artist singing a song and then you've got someone like Young Divas and all the other judges, all the judges are like, to the original artist, you know, fantastic, you know, you're phenomenal, you can see why the song is amazing, you created it, and then there's a gay judge on the panel and be like, yeah, it was nice, but you girls, the Young Divas, wow, what you did with the song, we just want to dance, and you owned it, you know? So it's exactly that, isn't it? It's nice, and then there's Young Divas.
Yeah, exactly. Like, they really took it to the next level, and I must say, while we're here, I want to praise the album production, because look, these are all very beloved Hun anthems, right? They're all bops and bangers that we all know, but somehow bring it to present day, grinding electropop productions with a nod to the 80s hits all the fucking marks. This is bombastic.
Yeah. They're all taking it to 11, but it's not jarring. So you've got it both on the recorded production and live. Their harmonies are phenomenal. Their blend is brilliant. It's not just these four soloists trying to outdo each other. They all take it to 11. It's really extra, but it just blends throughout this whole project, blends so wonderfully. Like, it is like, it's a real rarity that these four soloists actually work incredibly well as a vocal band together.
And I think that's kind of the magic they discovered after the first single. They're like, fuck yeah, we could actually be group. Yeah. So Gloria is a really good example of, like, say, you know, you've got Ricky Lee's really raspy, soulful tones. I think it's a good time to probably break down for our listeners who maybe don't know the individual voices. Ricky Lee's voice, I think I would describe it as soulful, but with a rasp and a bit of a rock edge there. Kate DeRouge's voice, definitely a rock chick. You can hear it whenever she's on. Paulini, you know her voice. She's so distinct. It's a sweet, honey tone with lots of vibrato. But also, you know when Paulini's singing because she, I mean, we used to joke about this as kids at school. Like, Paulini takes lots of breaths. So you always hear that. In all her solo records, you can hear it. It's no shade, but that's just her style, okay? And then we've got Emily Williams, who is the sweet, just very clean tone, but then also gives you the big belty notes, you know. She does the Mel C bits sometimes in these songs, so she gives you the big high notes.
Just while we're talking about the album, when as a someone that's discovering them for the first time ever, I look at the album cover for this and I go, oh, got some potentially familiar faces there, or at least some potential lookalikes.
Who are you thinking?
When we've got Ricky Lee on this album cover, I'm like, Martine?
Yeah.
Martine McCutcheon, is that you?
This is Martine-esque, yes. I can see it from the UK gaze.
From the UK gaze and the UK gaze. And then we've got lovely Kate, looks like my queen of life, the woman that raised me. It looks like Sarah Michelle Gellar is playing the GC in a Hollywood biopic.
No, you did not. Now I can't unsee it. It really is Sarah Michelle Gellar channeling the GC's glam. Yeah. I can't unsee it.
Give me a standout. I've got loads here, so give me a standout.
Even though it's an album of covers and a couple of the songs are very familiar, my favourites are the ones that they introduced to me because it kind of felt like, in my mind, a Young Divas original because I don't know the original context, right? Mm. And one of the highlights is Say I'm Your Number One. Didn't know this song in its original form. I'd never heard a Princess before, but wow, what a melody. And of course, is a Stock, Aitken & Waterman song. They've got four Stock, Aitken & Waterman songs on this album.
Yeah, and I bet they loved the royalty checks from this, Stock, Aitken & Waterman.
I mean, get them Aussie dollars. Yeah.
Yeah.
Now this is, you know, because we've had so many like relentless, like Handbags on the Floor bangers from the girls. This is like a smooth
touch of R&B, like smooth and sexy.
Touch of R&B, very like Magic FM when you're home alone, you know, just in the bath.
Maybe with a little glass of something.
I was very ready to receive this body of work as per Young Divas. So there are a couple of songs that I already knew were covers, Jolie B, including Woman in Love, which was covered by our girl, Liz McLennan.
Giving actual Liz a run for her money. Liz is a Young Diva.
Liz is a diva in her own right. And she actually released her version of this Barbra Streisand cover the same year as Young Divas. So I'd already seen it on Top of the Pops, right? Downloaded it on LimeWire and then Young Divas album comes out. And I'm like, fucking getting Woman in Love again, aren't I?
Barbra Streisand's getting those royalty checks that
year. BGs are getting the royalty checks. Who knew Woman in Love was so hot in 2006?
Yeah, absolutely. Woman in Love was phenomenal. So speaking of giving people a run for the money, it's Raining Men giving Jerry a run for her money. Jerry is a Young Diva.
I mean, these four girls, though, this is a different kind of level of drama.
Yeah, not as vibey as Jerry's version, I would say, though. It's no. A shame it misses the go get yourself wet, girls. I know you want to. Rip off the roof and strike it back.
The girls did perform this at Dancing with the Stars, which I can't find on YouTube, but I remember thinking at the time, like, okay, this is kind of gay rights to have like these four huns on Dancing with the Stars performing this song in like black dresses or black outfits. I was just like, anthem, such an anthem. And do you know what?
Did they have topless dancers?
Who knows what was happening
male.
On...
Male.
Male. I'm sure that, I mean, we'll get to male in the next single. But look, it's a right choice. I mean, come on, whoever is A&Ring Young Divas albums know what they're doing, right? You got to give something for the gays and the huns.
Yeah, I think this project would be our friend for Adam at Fascination's dream.
I want to hear what his thoughts are because
yeah, Adam, we need to know what you think of the Young Divas.
I can't remember if, like, you know, in our drinks and dinners, we've mentioned Young Divas before, but I'm desperate to hear his thoughts on the song choices because it's so on point for these girls. But I'm glad you liked It's Raining Men because that really is like do you know what is drama? The girls brought drama, different vocal textures.
I got two more, all right? I don't know how many more you have, but I need to talk about them. She works hard for the money. We got Donna again. Now, I think, David, this could have been a really fun single, and this could have given us a much stronger narrative music video than we'd had from the girls. We could have had a really good music video of the girls all doing different jobs, you know, working hard for the money. Imagine, like, Fifth Harmony's work from home 10 years before that,
yeah.
You know.
Meets Dolly Parton's 9 to 5, yeah.
You better treat her right, you better treat her right. She works hard for the money, so hard for it, honey. She works hard for the money, so you better treat her right. She works hard for the money,
she works hard for the money,
so hard for it, honey.
So hard for the money,
she works hard for the money, so you better treat her right.
And then last but not least from me is You'll Never Stop Me From Loving You.
Oh, Sonia.
By the lovely Sonia.
Sonia.
Now, Sonia and Young Divas is gay rights. Sonia is a young diva.
I've seen Sonia perform at Rewind Festival. I think she did
Diva,
do this song.
She got to get me tickets. She got to, I want to go and see. Of course she did this. It's a signature hit. Now, I mean, we won't sidetrack and get into Sonia, but what I always love about Sonia is when she did Eurovision, David, I think we've spoken about this before, maybe even on this pod, she did a televised vote. So she sang every song that was going to be on her next album and the audience voted for what one would be the Eurovision song.
Okay, iconic.
Genius.
Flex. Way to preview your album as well.
Young Divas should have done that. Sonia and Young Divas, This Is Gay Rights, You'll Never Stop Me From Loving You, you know?
Again, another Stock, Aitken and Waterman classic. Like, they do write good songs and the girls know how to deliver it, yeah.
And now, David, before we leave the album, I just need to say that the album closes on a solo version of I Will Always Love You from Emily, and it is absolutely beautiful. Now, do you think this has been put on here and Emily gets this moment because she's not had any solo material out there yet? They were giving her a bit of a moment.
I'm really curious because I have this album on CD and I didn't have this track. So I wonder if it was like an iTunes bonus or something like that. Obviously now we're in a streaming age. It's all there, but...
It's all there, baby.
I can tell you I certainly didn't have this on my CD version, so... Look, it makes a lot of sense. Let's give Emily a solo track moment because she hasn't had one out of all these girls. And what a stunning knockout vocal performance.
This album was a number 4 smash hit in Australia, double platinum, David.
Wow.
And you had it, as you just said.
Mm, I've ripped it. It's on my laptop. I've taken it across the world
God.
With me. Oh, because were you like, oh shit, how am I going to find these tracks?
Do you have the second album?
Yeah, I've got it all.
I've been struggling to find these
Don't
albums.
Don't worry, I'm good. I'm good. I've got a CD rip on my laptop. Had it for years, babe. Wasn't letting these young divas go. The minute I knew I was moving overseas, I was like, rip the CDs. Taking the divas with me. So around the time of the album release, listen, Joel, like in preparation for this episode, I was even shocked by what I found in research because they did Abomania, which was, I never saw this, by the way, on TV when it came out, but it was hosted by your girl, Rebecca Cartwright.
Beck Cartwright as the GVO role hosting.
And they made such a big deal of this being Beck Cartwright's return to television. You know,
really?
The Home and Away. Yeah, the trailer was like, because I guess this Home and Away star has been out of the limelight for a minute. So they were like, Beck Cartwright's big return to TV is hosting Abomania with some other bloke. But we had Ricky Lee and Paulini doing Knowing Me, Knowing You, and then all four young divas doing Super Trooper. Like, that is a class booking.
Both of these versions are really stunning. Like, you know, what I would say hats off from the young divas is across the board, they really sound stunning live. You know, all our pop faves, who all are incredible vocalists, they have, you know, patchy appearances and stuff. But here, and on pretty much everything, I'm just so impressed. So the vibe, this whole episode is the vibe of the karaoke night we won that we said on the last episode. But knowing me, knowing you, David, is the us on karaoke, and I need to start practicing.
One of us will be Ricky Lee, the other Paulini. I'm like, yes.
Who's who?
Either or is fine with me. But also very interesting for our Australian listeners in this ABBA Mania special, Rhonda Birchmore and Carrie Ann Kennelly did Gimme Gimme Gimme.
Now actually that is us on karaoke. That's the one we need to practice. David, who are those two people? I loved the clip you sent it to me, and that really is us.
Were you That's just like, who are these middle-aged Huns? Like, yeah. Okay, so Rhonda Birchmore is like a musical theatre or theatre darling, right? She's just this big personality, very known in Australia because she's got this brazen, bright red hair, and she's just loud and just fabulous. Carrie Ann Kennelly is sort of, I guess, our version of Lorraine Kelly to a certain extent. You know, daytime TV queen, just nation's mum as far as daytime TV is concerned. Both of these forces coming together, singing Gimme, Gimme, Gimme. It's like Rhonda's in a tiny silver mini dress with thigh-high boots. Carrie Ann comes on in a black suit, trousers, whips off that jacket halfway through the performance to reveal like a black corset bustier. Wow. I'm like, aunties are living.
Us after the Tom Aspel concert. Too many drinks.
Gimme, gimme, gimme a man after midnight.
See you at the Arvo too, everyone.
And also we must say, as being four Australian Hun idols, they did get a chance to perform as young divas at the Australian Idol finale that year in Sydney. Gorgeous view of the Sydney Harbour. And they performed their album track Right About Now, which is a cover of the Moose Tea track. Now, you know, we've talked about lots of like classic diva songs on the album. This is the anomaly on the album, which I never really got on board with.
Yeah. So, David, let's talk about the third and final single from this album, Searching.
Wow. So here we are in March 2007. Look, honestly, these girls didn't even think they would have more than one single. And here they are, single number three. And this is actually my favorite song on the album.
Yeah, really quite. I wonder what kind of deal Sony BMG had to have all these like UK 80s songs on it.
You know, like the original version, the Hazel Dean version, peaked at number 17 in Australia. So I guess like some of the aunties and uncles back home knew about Searching. But, like, this is such an anthem, don't you think? Do you know this song?
This one, I know Hazel Dean, but I don't know if this song is the standout Hazel Dean.
Right, so it's not signature Hazel.
To me, but I'm not an 80s expert. I only know Rick.
Searching and seeking, never sleeping, I got to find me a man. Yes, honey. Me after being double jabbed.
Look, anyone single out there, you need to slide into David Lim's
No,
DMs.
You need to stream Young Divas Searching. That's the anthem.
And
the
then while you're searching, slide into David's DMs. Now, look, we've got the most narrative music video yet. Or at least the most layered, the most stuff going on. It is a bit calm and a hip hop in its production values, but it is also the most they've had to do in a music video. And it was fun. It was fabulous.
And also, Joel, actual location with extras.
Actual location with extras. I was just like, I was watching it and I was just like, why are you wasting? Like, obviously, it's great to have extras and everything, but it's like, why are you wasting the money on the extras when you could have just spent that money doing more stuff for the video? So, David, do you think if this video was made now for this song with the concept of the Young Divas, do you think it would be them all sitting on their phones Tinder swiping, and we could then have these visuals of all these potential dates. Or maybe we could have had a really fun music video of them all at a speed dating event or something like that.
I would love the speed dating concept. Very Sophie Ellis Bextor, I won't change you.
They got to find a man, David. And it turns out, you know, I'm going to like look into the future, and they really couldn't find one because in the future they've got to ask Santa, but more on that.
More later. On that to come.
So Paulini really does seem like she's the star in this song and music video. And do you think maybe Ricky Lee had already checked out by this point?
No, I mean, I think in terms of the vocal splits in the songs, Paulini and Ricky Lee were very present in the first album. When we get to the second album, we're going to see a little bit more of a shift because obviously Ricky Lee leaves. But yeah, I don't get a sense that she's checked out at this point in the video. To be honest, Joel, like, this went barely on the radar.
Wasn't it hit on Rage?
Listen, this single made number 40 in Australia. And I think as a gay man clubbing, I knew about it. I knew it was out because I somehow saw the music videos in the nightclubs. But I don't really remember hearing it on radios. It wasn't a big radio hit as the first two singles.
They should have made a deal with every gay club in Australia to like play it on the hour, every hour.
Searching o'clock, searching, looking for love.
Because do you know what, actually? You know how we were talking before on a previous episode, maybe even the last one, when I was saying about how like I used to look on the GAY website who was playing, even though I was too young to go to GAY. They used to do these nights, like it would be like a Kylie and Danny night at GAY Bar. And whenever they played a Kylie or Danny song, there'd be cheaper drinks at the bar.
Oh, brilliant idea. But don't you want people to be dancing, not rushing to the bar?
I've got 3 minutes. I need to get to the front of the bar.
Yeah, they're going to be paying attention to the song, that's for sure.
I didn't ask for a copy of this Searching Young Divas single with my Patron shot. Well, you've got it. And it's helping towards the Aria sales. Okay.
So here we are, right? Double platinum album, 3 hit singles. February 2007, it was kind of announced that Young Divas had pulled out of a quote-unquote scheduled national tour supporting Westlife because one of the members, Ricky Lee, had decided to go overseas to work on a second solo album. So everyone's kind of like, oh, okay, well, she checked out. Like, what's going on? So lots of rumors were going on that Ricky Lee was leaving Young Divas. It was kind of fueled as this, you know, Big Jerry moment, this departure from this girl group.
So it turns out at this time, Emily Williams' sister, who was also an Australian Idol contestant, I believe on season 4, was helping fill in for Ricky Lavina. Lee at this time. Yes, Lavina was filling in for Ricky Lee.
So yeah, look, there were lots of rumors at the time that Ricky Lee and Kate DeRouge did not get on, which, I mean, look, we're not that type of messy podcast gays. You guys know this already. We've been doing this for 3 years. You know what we're like. But Ricky Lee did sort of intimate in an interview years later that there was a little bit of a clash. They didn't really get on. There were different personalities, her and Kate. So let's just leave it at that.
I appreciate Ricky Lee's qualms, you know, because the press and the girls dubbed it as Ricky Lee's left and they tried to make it this drama. But Ricky Lee was a soloist. They were all soloists. Mm. She joined for a one single and a tour. And, you know, it's like how I was saying before, it's like the meeting keeps getting longer and longer and you've got places to be. You know, she's actually done a lot more than already she should have done, or like, you know, the prior commitments. She's really like, she's done an album with them. She's done 3 singles.
And all so the countless TV appearances around the album campaign, like the girls, Young Divas, did so many TV performances. They were as booked and busy as the Saturdays in their prime. You know, the Young Divas were out there doing their thing. So she has her own timeline as a solo artist that she's probably had to push back.
So I appreciate she's like, come on now, I've really got to like get back to my solo career.
In March 2007, before a formal announcement was made about Ricky Lee leaving or whatever's happening with the group, I guess Young Divas were already contractually or had confirmed to perform at Sydney Gay and Lesbian Mardi Gras. They did so as a trio. So Paulini, Kate DeRouge and Emily Williams. It was a medley of It's Raining Men because, of course, you're at Mardi Gras. They did Searching because, of course, you're at Mardi Gras. And then while the girls are having the outfit change, Paulini did One Night Only as a solo. And then the other girls like shimmied back on and did a little It's Raining Men at the end. So it's like gay fucking rights.
If you're a gay rights pop star in Australia, this is an absolute rite of passage.
Listen, we must say all these girls are LGBTQIA plus allies through and through consistently throughout their careers. So there's never any questioning. These girls always show up for us. They've all done Mardi Gras. They've all done community radio stations at Joy 94.9. They've all done charity things. These girls all show up. So amazing. Much love to them.
Legends. So they've done Mardi Gras as a three-piece. There was rumours that Ricky Lee was leaving David. Along with the rumours, it was circulating that the new member could be Emily Williams' sister, Lavina. Live, Laugh, Lavina. It could have been Casey Donovan, who won Idol Season 2, or a new young'un, Jessica Malboy. Never heard of her. But those were the three names being thrown around. I love that Young Divas was so big that it was like, these are the rumours of someone's joining.
Yeah, because it's, you know? I guess as a press tabloid perspective, it's easy to speculate because there's multiple seasons of Idol. And Jessica Malboy, if you've watched Eurovision, you now know who Jessica Malboy is, especially if you're a Eurovision fan. So I'm very grateful that I don't need to go into all that. But she is one of Australia's best loved and celebrated solo female artists. She is so talented, a great vocalist, and just great talent. She, at this point in her career, was a runner-up on Australian Idol Season 4 in 2006. Her management thought it would be a really good experience for her because she was only 17 years old, maybe didn't have very much stage experience or like performing experience. Let's put her in Young Divas Academy. You know, maybe it'll give her a bit of confidence and just, you know, get her going. It kind of flipped in a way when Jess joined the group, the dynamic shifted a bit, that she got lots of the lead and she got a bit more of the focus because she was the new girl. But I got a sense that the other divas didn't mind it because all the interviews were like, oh my God, what's it like having Jess join the group? And they were all like, oh my God, she's such a joy, such a delight. We didn't need to give her tips. She's fabulous as she is. You know, she's great. She's fitted right in. So she's got these three industry sisters already, which I think is really nice.
Because what I loved is she seems so young in the interviews and she is just owning it. Like lead vocals, like the moments. And on stage and in the videos and when performing is just when she seems like she comes alive.
The first album was very like Hun's Night Out, handbags on the floor, as you said. But now they're like trying to look like a cohesive girl group a little.
So David, Savage, was this a famous person? Is it still a famous person?
Look, Savage is a New Zealand rapper that seemed to just pop up on things in this era. He just popped up. I did think it was savvy to have Savage as a feature on it because it was a time where pop diva vocals with rappers was the trend, right?
Look, Savage, if you're listening, jump on my version of Kiss Kiss. Let's
go get them girls. Go get them girls. I just love that. I was like, yeah, Kiwi, Fat Man Scoop, give me that. Listen, at this time in 2007, I was at Joy 94.9, the gay and lesbian radio station in Australia, and I can say this song was high rotation.
Wow.
On daytime.
Like, I think you need a big return to Joy, but bring your friend the Joy.
Oh, yeah. They would love you down in Oz. I mean, I'm sure their broadcasting standards are different now. I wouldn't qualify, but they would happily have the JB on, you know.
Baby Jess really did come in and run with it. She owned it. And I just watch it and I think, good for her. It's really interesting you said that about Paulini, because watching this video, I really felt like Paulini and Jess were the stars of the show in this music video. I really liked the shots in the mirror room.
Very Rihanna SOS of that time.
And I just thought it was really flash. I really thought it was flashing between the two of them mainly. It was kind of like...
But if you listen to the song, I don't think Paulini really comes into like three quarters of the way, where she comes, turn me loose, ooh, ooh, turn me loose, ooh, ooh.
Yeah. It was interesting because there were so many of those shots where Jess was front doing her bit, and then the three are backing singers, the wrong term, but it's being a real like group cohesive, but where they're standing backwards doing kind of an in sync thing, and Jess is up front owning it, you know?
They did this on Australian Idol. You know, like Monday night elimination night, they always get like a music artist on. Young Divas did this, right? So this is the debut of Jess lineup of Young Divas. And there was a sequence in a song when they were doing Turn Me Loose where the three girls went to one corner and sort of be the BVs to Jessica Malloy doing the lead in the middle of this song. So I was very like, okay, I see what you're doing, spotlighting Jess. Very big of these three divas to be like, do you know what? She's our baby girl. We're going to let her shine.
You know, in anything, you know, in any production, whether it's music, whether it's TV, film, theatre, or even in workplace, when someone leaves, that's normally your opportunity for everyone else to do the next step up. So you're right. It was very like, let's see what's right for the group. Whereas actually we're letting someone in. And especially you've got someone here that is an actual Australian Idol winner. And if you're them, you'd think they'd want to be like, great, I'm going to be front and center. But no, we're letting someone else come in and do what's right for the group. And really, it did make everyone else seem fantastic to me.
I feel like this era, Kate was more prominent as well. So she got her dues, you know, yeah.
So number 15 hit in Australia. Now, I love the ARIA charts. I love talking about it.
I'm a big fan of the dictionary. I'm a big fan of the ARIA charts, right?
I'm a big fan of the ARIAs. Is 15 a hit if you're in Australia or what?
Something wasn't clicking this time around. Not, it wasn't popping off in the big way that this time I know it's for real was popping off. Do you
and
know
it's
what
a
I mean?
Shame because it all felt elevated to me. It felt like the next step up.
But maybe they got a bit too clever. Do you feel like, because this time I know it's for real is an obvious cover, Handbags on the Floor, as you said. This is a little bit left off center, which I appreciated, yeah. And I loved.
I really liked it. I thought it was a really classy choice.
You know, whenever these Young Divas cover a song, I don't know, I take it as a Young Divas original, right? So I was treating this as a new song for me.
This could have been their, you could have thought this was their Upside Down moment. It could have been their first original sort of thing.
Yeah. So aside from performing this on Australian Idol as, I guess, the kind of first look of the group, the girls did also come back in the Idol grand finale that year to do the same song. Can you give me something else? You know, this single made number 15. Maybe pick another song from the album. And there were lots of good songs to choose from.
Yeah. Speaking of which, shall we get into the second album?
Yes, maybe? Indeed. So here we are, Young Divas, second album.
New Attitude. I thought this was a great album. I really liked the production of the whole album. No skips for me. Well, actually, I probably could skip Love Will Lead You Back. But instead of skipping it, I would just put it at the end so it could be the cool down from my workout.
Yeah, we know the JB's not a fan of the ballads. Yes.
I think Got To Be Real is a fantastic opening track here. Banger. It really sets the vibe and the tone.
Didn't notice about New Attitude is that this does feel a little bit more grown up. The song choices are maybe more diverse. You know, where the first one was just like balls to the wall, bangers, like Hun in a Dive Bar kind of vibes. This one, I don't know, there's two Taylor Dane songs, there's a Diana Ross song, there's a Stevie Nicks track, the Bee Gees, Whitney, Pointer Sisters, you know, there's some crowd pleaser moments, but also unexpected moments. So for me, the standout and favorite on this album that I will always come back to time and time again is the cover of Patti LaBelle's New Attitude.
Right.
Somehow the wires uncrossed, the tables were turned, never knew I had such a lesson to learn.
Yeah.
diva vocal showcase. You know, you've got Baby Jess, Emily Williams, very prominent vocals here. I feel like when you're in a funk and you're just not loving where you are in life, put on new attitude, go do something different, shake it off, go work out, go shopping, whatever. This is your anthem.
That's what I need in my life. Thank you, David Lim. That wasn't even a standout on my list, but after that, it will be.
I've tied it up, my point of view. I got a new attitude. Jolie B, the other standout for me is I Can't Wait, the Stevie Nicks cover. Because, again, I've never heard of this, but I remember thinking, like, this is a very cool electropop production on the album.
You're picking out all the ones I didn't pick out, so this is fantastic. Two sides of every story.
Sometimes she talks to him, sometimes when she's only dreaming. Then when she wakes up, somehow she still believes him. Yes, I know you.
For me, this sounds kind of like a Sugar Babes album track or like a good B-side to Denial. This is a Kate DeRouge and Jessica Malboy led track. I just love the blending of the vocals. And I thought, do you know what? If you're going to do like a third single from this album, this could really work.
Speaking of singles, shall I tell you what I would have liked to have been the next single? Tell It to My Heart.
Yes, that was what I was going to say. If they were going to do another single, it should have been Tell It to My Heart.
One mind, David Lim, one mind.
No, I can't let you go.
To my heart,
tell me I'm the only one.
Is this really love or just a phase?
Yeah, it's a very, very famous song here. I just think it would have been, yeah, the perfect second single. Great vocals, moody, sexy. I love their production of it.
These are bangers, and that's the reason why they've had it on the album, right? Because they're crowd pleasers and they are good songs. But for me, like, the mood has been set from Turn Me Loose that they were going to go in a slightly more subversive direction.
So you think maybe they should have had more on their Total Eclipse of the Heart and, like, rockier 80s bangers?
Maybe give us a different flavour of Han.
So you don't think Chain Reaction's as good as the Steps version? Steps are young divas.
I love that you're like putting everyone in this group like...
We're all young divas.
We're all young divas. It's a mood, it's a movement, it's a way of
Me,
life, it's
you,
a culture.
Steps, Tracy, Girls Aloud, Liz, Jerry. We are all young divas. Listener, you are a young diva. I'm speaking to you. You are a young diva. You're the youngest. And you're the most diva-est we've ever seen. So, David, ever since our first and only XXXmas special, you did bring up the song. Well, you didn't. You more than bring up. You shone a light on the song Dear Santa. And let me tell you, I have been obsessed with this song ever since you mentioned it. And I could listen to it any time of the year. Doesn't need to be Christmas.
Any time of the year. Dear Santa, bring me a man. It was literally the Christmas edition of Searching, isn't it? Like, I love that these thirsty divas like gave us another man-hunting anthem. This album debuted and peaked at number 10 on the Australian Albums Chart, certifying gold. So I guess, do you know what? It's not the double platinum success of the first one. It is what it is. Like, I don't think it was meant to be a forever thing. Not for Jess Malboy anyway.
Well, we didn't get a forever thing, did we? We didn't get a third album.
In August 2008, it was announced that both Paulini and Jess Malboy had quit Young Divas because they wanted to resume their solo careers. So which leaves Kate DeRouge and Emily Williams as the remaining members. Do they want to continue? They decided, do you know what? That's it. Let's call it a day. Young Divas officially disbanded.
But we were officially told that there was going to be a new incarnation of the Young Divas, and it was going to be sort of like a finishing school, a way for Young Divas to find their feet. So in theory, we could have had
like
this...
Like an idol finishing school, yeah. like what Jess Malboy did.
Exactly. So we could have had this revolving lineup of Young Divas, of all these idol finalists. We never got it.
It was too special and off that time, so...
Yeah. And I think, to be honest, like, obviously we would have loved it, but it's like, it's right that they didn't. It's like how it's right we never got any stuff from the Pussycat Dolls when they changed everyone, you know?
Shall we talk about post Young Divas?
Yes, obviously. After Young Divas. Thank you, Dave. Thank you, David, because there's been some fine moments post Young Divas, and I have thoroughly enjoyed it. Guys, let me tell you, if you're listening, not only are you a Young Diva, but B, you are going to enjoy the Young Divas Universe playlist that will be released coming inside with this episode. Full of bangers. Wow. Full of bangers.
This is like a real treat for me as an Aussie pop fan to introduce this to you. But also, like, I know that over the years you've picked up on these things from, you know, just your vision or just consuming stuff from living with me. So Jessica Malboy, the year following her stint from Young Divas Academy, she released her debut solo single, Running Back, featuring Flo Rida.
What a way to kick things off.
A number 3 hit in Australia, her debut album, Been Waiting, peaked at number 11, certified double platinum, and spent a year in the top 50, producing 5 hit singles.
That is how you come out of Young Divas. Second single, Burn, her first number 1 on the ARIA charts.
Oh, did you love that one?
I loved that one. Love it, it's a fucking bop. If we questioned it, the lyrics are like, is this the song for the waiting room while we're getting our sexual health checkup? Everyone, you should be having your sexual health checkup every 3 months. You should own it and be proud of it. There's nothing wrong with that.
No taboo there. Dean Street Clinic put this song on repeat.
Exactly. And then if we move forward a little bit, we've got Get 'Em Girls featuring former Pussycat Dolls collaborator Snoop Dogg.
This was a very interesting era for Jessica Malboy. As a priority artist on Sony in Australia, right, they were trying to connect her, I guess, to a more American R&B landscape. Snoop Dogg was on this album. Ludacris was on the next single. Like, it was big names. Like, she worked with Jazzy Faye and, like, the people that worked on Ciara's album, people that worked on Beyoncé's tracks. It was a proper, slick, contemporary R&B pop moment. But unfortunately, I think... us being what we are in Australia, we misunderstood that ambition and didn't really get on board with her international sounding R&B efforts. So I think after that, Jess learned a lesson and maybe went back more pop, more mainstream, just to kind of, you know what, this is my audience, this is what works. So she's an absolute national treasure. All of her albums, after her first one, have been top 10. Her latest studio album, Hilda, was number 1. Anyone who watched Eurovision in recent years knows that she represented Australia. She's had lead roles in films, and she's done a successful TV series with a soundtrack that charted very well. And she's currently a coach on The Voice Australia.
And do you know what song I absolutely love, David? The song that you mentioned on our mailbag episode, Never Being the Same Again. Oh, my God.
That,
I love
that
it.
That rips my heart out.
And I know it's so it connects a lot to you leaving Australia and coming to here, but also really connects just with, like, the grind of London life and, you know, I was just listening to it and it was just, like, it really hit me and I was just, like, oof.
The more you win, the more you want. It never ends, it never stops. Oh, it's never enough. Ooh. We're all rolling in a crazy race, never thinking about the hearts we break. And as our home starts fading away, things are never gonna be the same. Cause when you're standing there all alone.
And isn't there an amazing performance of her performing something with like the Veronicas and someone else at the Arias or something?
Well, you know, my eternal fave, Tina Arena.
Yes.
The tribute performance for Queena Arena.
Ugh.
They did Chains.
Yes.
Bitch. Queena comes up from the bottom of the stage. Hey! Should have known passing through the gates that once inside I cannot escape. Oh, it was a Queen moment from Veronica's, Jess Malboy, Queena Arena.
Queens, the Australian legends. Shall we talk about Hun, Queen of Gays and Girls, Ricky Lee?
Oh my God. So yes, Ricky Lee, immediately after Young Divas, she went to release the biggest hit of her career yet, Can't Touch It, in the year 2007, which was featured in the Sex and the City movie soundtrack.
Sex and the City 2.
Oh, well, okay, let's not diminish that. This is a Hunt anthem. It was a number two hit in Australia, certifying platinum, and it's literally still one of her signature hits to this day. Credit to Ricky Lee. She wrote all of her songs. She's an architect of her own sound, her own vibe, her own artistry.
It's really interesting from watching Ricky and her stuff. I can really see why she needed to go and do her own thing. And so that was her first song after Young Divas, and what a way to do it.
So Ricky Lee released 4 studio albums. She's had 9 top 20 singles, a massive comeback in 2012 after signing with a major label for the first time in her career, EMI.
Amazing.
And she released Fear and Freedom, her 3rd album, which is her biggest one to date. It had 2 big top 20 hits, Raining Diamonds and Do It Like That.
Oh, bangers. Let's talk about Do It Like That, Summer Anthem. Now, I think this should have been used for her American launch. It just seemed very like amazing American summer. You know, when we've seen our stars re-record an American music video, that's the look. Like, that's what you want. Got you wrapped around my pinky, so whip your chain to this. Your eyes say let's get this, hey. I bet you're gonna work for it. Don't know I'm gonna get you high, 'cause I know how to blow your mind. Baby, get ready for this, 'cause it's about to get serious. I remember like the Mail Online or whatever was writing that. Oh my God, like, can't believe she's in her underwear dancing on the streets. Like, that was a big kind of like, ooh, look at her. Oh, calm down.
Calm down, hun. Like, she did what she had to do with that, and it was an absolute serve. Here in the UK, I guess EMI kind of tapped up some really hot remixes here. If you were part of the Pop Justice kind of hive in this time, you would have seen that. There was a Fred Falk remix that was shared.
Wow.
She really lit the blogosphere on fire in this time with that remix.
So let's talk about Raining Diamonds, all right? So this song, Invented Chromatica, okay, comma, I stand, exclamation point, all right? Ricky Lee for Eurovision, please. Why has this not happened yet?
I know, right? Today, she's a very successful TV and radio personality. Like, she actually literally is an award-winning radio presenter.
Wow.
And she's currently the host of Australia's Got Talent.
And so, as of, obviously, I don't know, I'm not an Australian, I don't know the culture. Does she lean into, like, that, not camp, but, like, that audience? Or, like,
yes.
Do you think she's knowing in the way of, yes, like, Queen of Gays and Huns?
Yes. Oh, she is very Queen of Gays, honey.
Music-wise, we have a connection to Ricky Lee, David. So Ricky Lee has a writing credit on friend of the podcast Bryn Christopher's 2008 single Smiling. So I messaged Bryn about this. We were like, because we both spotted that Ricky Lee had this credit, so I messaged Bryn. I was like, what happened here? Like, what's the situation? This song was originally sent to him by Ricky Lee and her producer, And then, yeah, it was reworked by Brin and Sound of the Underground writer Naira Scarlett, Icons Only, and then it became Bring Christopher Smiling.
I love that. Over the years, as much as people want to be like, oh, is she ashamed of being Young Diva? She kind of left and all that. She was quoted in interviews saying, you know, whenever I whip out any of the Young Diva songs at my concerts, they go off. People still have so much love for that album, and I'm so happy that was part of it. So nothing but love and joy from Ricky Lee.
I would love my life to somehow, like, get me to a Ricky Lee show. I just feel like it would be so much fun. Shall we talk about Paulini and Emily?
We love Paulini. Years following Young Divas, we must say, it has been a little bit of hard slog for her. As an independent artist, she did release a string of singles, moving from kind of club bangers to pop ballads. Jolie B, I want to point out to you the 2012 single, Fireman.
Banger. Banger!
Cascada-esque banger, sexy music video with, as you guess it, Fireman.
I thought this was very Sugar Babes 4.0 or J.J. in solo work. Bop.
Also, I can hear this on Alexandra Burke's second album.
Fantastic.
So in the intervening years, 2015, she signed a deal with Decca Records Australia and released her first album in 9 years called Come Alive, which charted at number 25 on the Australian album charts. In a lot of ways, Al Paulini has kind of mirrored Alexandra Burke a little bit career-wise, aside from the one album thing with Decca Records, which Burke also had. Paulini is also now a musical theatre leading lady. She starred in the Aussie run of The Bodyguard as Rachel Marin.
Amazing. Amazing.
And she also did Chess and Hair. So, wow. You know, she's on a roll.
A theatre darling.
Literally theatre darling. And it's so right for someone with Paulini's credibility and vocal abilities like that. It's right that she's getting to musical theatre.
Absolutely.
Theater. Yeah, and also she was as recently on the Aussie version of I'm a Celeb, Get Me Out of Here.
Get that booking, girl. So let's talk about this Bodyguard tour, right? So not only was it Paulini, but Emily Williams was the alternate version of the role. Now, I'd need to go and see that show twice so I could go and see my Young Divas. Emily, as recently as this year, just released a dance track with someone from Geordie Shore. I'm assuming it's Ricky. We'll go with Ricky. We got Ricky G from Geordie Shore featuring Emily Williams. Ride With Me. Absolute banger. It's going to be one of your new firm favourites on our Young Divas Universe playlist. I mean, I just want to know how that connection happened. We've got Newcastle reality star from the UK, UK Newcastle, Australian Idol legend. How did those meetings of minds come together? I don't know, but I want to know.
I see changes in my life. All the people going in and out of sight. So much beauty signifies all the happiness that's going on inside. I want to take you on a ride with me. Come and see what
we also have to say Emily did release her debut solo album Uncovered in 2012. So
yes,
did it, Emily.
Good on you, Emily. And last but certainly not least, we've got the fabulous Kate DeRouge. We must say, look, Kate's journey from winning Australian Idol to where she is now has not been easy. She's made a go of it as an independent artist. On top of all the controversies she's had with the law, with various things, we just wish her all the health, all the happiness, and we, you know what, get it, bitch. You are a Young Diva. Always remember that. These days, Kate works in construction after spending a few years working in traffic management. She's now studying civil construction with the goal of working on civil sites and building projects. Just get it. Live your life.
Fantastic. Absolutely. And as she said, as recent as February this year, she is now 3 years in recovery, which is absolutely amazing.
Yes, Kate.
And
yes.
We send all our love to Kate and all the Young Divas. If you didn't know they were an Australian group, there is a chance you could think they were a UK group visually. You could just imagine any of them now, 20 years on or however long it is, going, yeah, do you know what? It was great being part of the Young Divas. A couple of 80s hits albums. Yeah, you know, good on the other girls, all doing well. But yeah, we had some good, oh, you never say never with a reunion. It'd be absolutely fantastic. I love the Young Divas. I stan the Young Divas.
Oh, love it. So, guys, this has been such a joyful immersion.
David, I just need to thank you for giving me another amazing Aussie introduction. I'd never have had this in my life, and I can't believe that still in this day and age, someone that is pop music obsessed, especially of this era, that there's still new findings for me. So I want to thank you so much for giving that to me and to our listeners, because I know they are going to love this. You have been listening to Right Back Catch Up, the 2000s pop music podcast. I hope you love what we're doing. Please do leave us a 5-star review. You can follow us at Right Back Pod on all social platforms. Send us an email, rightbackpod@gmail.com. You can follow me at Dr_JoelB on all platforms, and you can follow him at
Young Divas Lovers.
Young Divas Lovers, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
No, at Love Limmy. Thanks, guys.
Until next time, bye.
Bye.
Turn me loose. Turn me loose. Uh-oh, turn me loose.